Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah. This segment proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Sirius FM, as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And today, inshallah, we will be discussing Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. The date today is the 22nd of Rabi'ul Awal, 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saab Damad Barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa azaika. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, how is your time going currently?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, I am here in Babans, that is the capital of Swaziland, Iswatani, whatever they call it, the new name. And mashallah, yesterday we had a program in Isulwini, a very nice program, about 1 1/4 hour, 1 2 hour, 20 minutes. And at the border, we had no problems. We came through with Brother Suleiman Yaqub, and from Rustenburg, Allah reward him. And here our host is Brother Shabir Ahmed, mashallah. We performed Hajj many times together. And his two sons, mashallah, graduated there at Darul Azad, were Maulana Abdul Rahman and Maulana Umar. So they're making a lot of khidmat here of ours. Allah reward them. A brief, distinct introduction to Swaziland. So Swaziland's population is plus minus 1.2 million. And thereafter, we find that, you know, Muslims are plus minus 25,000. And here in Baban, they have a nice, beautiful masjid. When you just enter from South Africa side, you will see it on the hill, like, beautiful. And you will see the gumbat and the dome. You will see the minaret and so on. I know when I was at CII, for about 10 years, we were announcing that please, brothers and sisters, should contribute. And there was one brother, Brother Mansoor, at that time, very, very faal and active. He bichara passed away. Allah grant him jannatul firdaus. So there the Maulana, the Imam is Maulana Huzaifa. And mashallah, tonight we're going there, Asr after Asr to Manzini. So they have a Hif Jalsa day after Maghrib. And then after Isha, we'll have the main talk, inshallah. And tomorrow, Jumu'ah, we'll be here in Baban, in the same Masjid Yusuf, and then at night, inshallah, the program after Isha. So it's very nice weather here, like summer day, 29, 30 degrees. So everything is going smooth and well. Allah Jalla Wala grant everyone hifadat, afiyat, sihat, izzat, and Allah protect us all, protect and preserve our iman and Islam.
Ameen. Today our topic is on Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. Mufti Saab, what is the full name of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi? Where was he born and when did he pass away?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last week we discussed Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Today we're discussing Imam Muslim rahimahullah. So Imam Muslim's full name is Muslim bin Hajjaj bin Muslim. And then it goes on, and then Kushairi and Nasapuri and something Nashapuri and so forth. His kunya is Abul Hussein, and his title was Asakiruddin. So he is of an Arab, you know, Arab descent and so forth, on Kushair. So Kushair will be the tribe and so forth, so therefore he's called Kushairi. But you must remember that Nasapur, if you study the history of it, so this is part of Iran, and this was conquered during the time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. And even today, if you go, then they call Nishapur, you see. So that is how this name became famous. It's part of Khurasan and so forth, Iran. So that is how, and in those days, it was a big center of ulama and so forth and so on. And in Islam, mashallah, after the Madrasa Nizamiya in Baghdad, So then this madrasa, yeah, and it was known madrasa of Bayhaqiya Nishapur. So they say that this madrasa of Bayhaqiya Nishapur, it was even before the existence of Nizamiya Baghdad, according to many ulama and so forth and so on. Anyway, so the one in Baghdad, the Nizamiya, is much more famous, obviously. So that is the all academic discussion. So regarding Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, so Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, was born, you must remember, Ibn Kathir and them, all of them, and Ibn Hajar and them, they say. So he says himself that وَكَانَ مُولِدُهُ. So he was born in the year Mata Fiha Shafi'i, so 2004. And that is what they say is the Rajih call. Some other call are also mentioned, but 2004. So easy way to remember, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born in Gaza 150. He passed away there in Cairo in 2004. And that year, 204. So Imam Shafi'i was born in 150 and passed away in 204 after Hijrah. So remember the year Al-Imam Shafi'i passed away. So that year Imam Muslim rahimahullah was born 204. So that is an easy way of remembering and so forth and so on. And he passed away in the year 261. So he only lived for 55 years. So that is how you must remember that. So he was only, some ulama say 55 years, some ulama say 57 years. So in that also there will be ikhtilaf then, you understand, when was he born? Because some ulama said he was born in 202, some ulama said 204, but most ulama said that it was in 204 and so forth. So then in the year, you must remember that he went to Imam, you know, Saint Zuhali and all that, there in Nisapur and then to study hadith and so forth. So all this year, they have many, many teachers. And in the year 220, he went to perform Hajj and so forth. And then he went to various places to go and study ahadith and so forth. You know, in those days, wherever they heard, they are great, great ulama, they used to go there and study and so forth. So here is the thing, yeah, that, you know, he studied by many teachers where Imam Bukhari Rahimullah also went to. So because he is Imam Bukhari's contemporary and so forth and so on. So for example, in Iraq, he studied by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Abdullah bin Maslama Qa'anabi, in Hijaz, that is Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Sa'id bin Mansur, and in Misr by Harbala bin Yahya and so forth. And like that, he carried on, you must remember, in Imam Bukhari's student as well and so forth. And remember, his students now are Imam Abu Isa Tirmidhi is a student, Abu Hatim Raji is a student. So great, great people are also his students and so forth and so on. So remember that Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he loved, you must remember, Imam Bukhari, his teacher. And I told you last week, he said that they are to kiss you, O Ustad al-Muhadithin, and so forth, and kiss your hands and so forth, and all this kind of teaching. So this year, so Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, so he had many, many more teachers, stood that we have not mentioned here, obviously. Regarding his hulya and his appearance and so forth and all this kind of thing there, they say that he had complete white beard, used to wear the turban and so forth and so on. And he was like, you know, like middle height, like and so forth. Regarding his character and so forth, they say that obviously he was a man who had a lot of respect for his beloved teachers and so forth. Although on some issues they had difference of opinion and so forth, but still there was always a lot of respect in that. And that was always the outstanding feature of the great, great people. So here they say, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, you understand, their Sheikh is Muhammad bin Bashar. Bundar, they call him, Muhammad bin Bashar Bundar. So he used to say in this world at that time, there were four hufaz of hadith. How we have hafiz of Quran nowadays, millions. So you have hafiz of hadith. Obviously, nowadays, very few. But he used to say, Muhammad bin Bashar, that there are four hufaz. Abu Zur'a. So you must remember that they was once, that is Razi. And Muslim bin Hajjaj Nasapuri, and Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman Darmi of Samarkand. He's buried there also there. And Imam Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari. So this is a very, very big statement, you know, that he is the Sheikh of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, Muhammad bin Bashar, and he's praising these four scholars and say, all of them were great, great giants, and each one of them, so you must remember. So in that way, there you find great, great people all used to praise him, the Imam of this thing, you know, Muslim and so forth. Now, yeah, how did Imam Muslim pass away? So this is an Ajib story of his. And sometime my wife, she reminds me of this. Understood? So they say that Imam Muslim Rahimullah passed away in the year 261. And how he passed away is this, that he's buried there in Nasir Abad. So there in Nishapur. So all this is there, you must remember, in Iran. And but today you won't find all this because these kuffar Shias, they have finished everything up there. So remember that he was looking for a hadith and so forth. So they brought some khajur and some dates, you understand, in front of him. So he was eating dates, looking for the hadith, eating dates, looking for the hadith. And then he ate so much that he passed away. Obviously, we believe you passed away on the appointed time. His birth became the sabab zahiri, you understand. That is the superficial reason for his demise and his death. So if you want details of this, open Siyaru A'lam in Dubala, Al-Bidaya wal-Nihaya, Tahzib and all that. So you will find all those things there. So this is how you must remember that. So that Imam Muslim was then asked after he passed away, did Allah give you Najat? And he said, yes. So then he pointed, you must remember, to Sahih Muslim, some part of it, and said, because of this kitab, Allah Jalla Wala gave me salvation, and so forth, and so on. Regarding Imam Muslim, Rahimahullah, that what he should follow, like which school or whatever. So Allah Kashmiri, Rahimahullah, wrote in Faizul Bari, that is the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, that we can't say certainly that we follow this school or this school, and so forth, and so on, you see. So because the Tarjamatul Bab in Muslim Sharif was not put by Imam Muslim himself, you must remember that. So that was put by Allama Nawawi, some ulama say somebody else. And in Al-Fushadi, the commentary of Tirmidhi Sharif, he writes, Amma Muslimun, Fawla A'lamu Madhabahu Bittahkik. You see, we can't say definitely he followed the school or that school and so forth. So that is Allah Kashmiri Rahimahullah's tahqiq and his research. Shah Waliullah Rahimahullah wrote in Insaf, and Nawab Hassan Siddiq Hassan Khan and all of them wrote in Al-Hitta, and Haji Khalifa wrote in Kashfu Zunun that Imam Muslim was following the Shafi'i school and so forth. So most school ulama say that he did follow Imam Shafi on most issues, and some places he had ikhtilaf with Imam Shafi'i. So according to most people, he was, you must remember, a Shafi'i, and some others say he was a mujtahid himself, and you know that he reached the stage that he was not just a muqallid and so forth, but they had that knowledge and taqwa and piety and all these type of things. So, and then Ibn Qayyim, you know, everybody pulls on their own side and so forth. So you must remember, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim, the celebrated student of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said he's a Hanbali. Because they themselves originally were Hanbali, so they pulled that way there, but you know. Then Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, tasnifat, you know, that if you look at his works and so forth and so on. So you must remember that besides the Sahih Muslim, he wrote these books, Musnad al-Kabir, Al-Asma wal-Kuna, Jami Kabir, Kitab al-Ilal, Kitab al-Tabiz, Kitab al-Wahdan. This Kitab al-Wahdan is ajib. This morning I gave a talk here after Fajr, you know. And I told them, Muhaddiseen have written books on this. So which Sahabi narrated one hadith only? So imagine we are the only people on the face of the earth that we have memorized the Quran Sharif, millions of us. We say there are 1 billion Muslim, and millions of us, male, female, adult, and children, with the grace and mercy and benevolence of Allah, we have memorized the Quran Sharif with Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, 540 rukus. And 4, 5, 6, 7 year old boys, girls have memorized it, right? Till 100 years old people, right? And like my Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib, Nawar Allah Barakatuhu, he became Hafiz in 27 days. Nobody to make Taraweeh, so he said, I'll perform Taraweeh, 27 nights he completed the Quran. So I asked him this personally also. He said, Mishri se lekar iftar tak yaad karta tha. I have to learn from shuhur time, sehri time, right till iftar time, in jawani ka zamana tha. I was young and so forth and so on. So imagine the miracle of the Quran Sharif lives on. Then you get some Rawis. I was explaining to them how Hadith works. So this Sahabi, Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi. What's his full name? Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi. Sahib al-Ru'ya, they call him. So in Makkah Mukarramah, there was no Azan. In Medina Munawwara, Mashura was held, meeting was held. How must we call the people for Salat and so forth? So at that time, they should call the people Salat time, As-Salatu Jamia, As-Salatu Jamia, come for Salat and so forth. Then somebody suggested we must blow in the horn, like the Jutlas. So they said, no, we can't do that. Somebody said, ring the bell, like the Christians said, no. Somebody said, burn a fire, like the Majusi, fire worshippers. Zoroastrians said, no, we can't do that. So that was Mashura, finished up, unconclusive, inconclusive, no decision taken. You see that? So that night, he, Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi radiallahu anhu, saw the dream. The angel is telling him, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He only narrated one hadith. Imagine one hadith only he reported and narrated. But that hadith is practiced throughout the world. I went to Russia, China, yeah, there, everywhere. With Allah's help, Allah's mercy, and you see in the remotest country, New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, people rendering azan. One sahabi, lahu hadithun wahid, but is practiced in the entire world, every city, every country, every continent, major place, you know. So that is karamat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So that is what is meant here and so forth. And then he got Kitabu Mashaykh Shu'ba and all that, Kitabu Mashaykh Sawri and all this, Kitabu Auladi Sahaba. Imagine the students and the children of the Sahaba and so forth. Kitab Ohamil Muhaddithin, so where the Muhaddithin, the scholars made mistakes and so forth. So like that, they wrote great books, you must remember that. And Kitab Su'alat Ahmad bin Hanbal, where they ask questions to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and all that. He got another book also, Kitab Mal Laysa Lahu Illa Rawin Wahid. Only one person reported it. So Kitab al-Wuhdan can maybe mean also between the Rawi and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's only one person and so. Or this one can mean. So all the possibilities are there. So now, why did he compile Sahih Muslim? Sababu Ta'alif. So that's a very good question. So when Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, compiled the Sahih al-Bukhari, as we did, you must remember, said, so then he saw all this. So now you must remember that Imam Bukhari's kitab is very difficult to look for hadith and so forth here. So Imam Muslim went and then he wrote, you must remember this kitab, but he used another usloob and another methodology. That is that when you look at Imam Muslim, to search for hadith is very, very easy. So therefore, say if you're discussing any bab, like say Salatullah, just say Istisqa. So now you need rain, right? Many parts here, they need rain. Carolina, they need rain. Amalo, they need rain. Zambia, they need rain. So now you want to read that, you will find all the hadith like that. But in Bukhari Sharif, you will find part of the hadith here, part there, part there, part there. So it's very difficult unless you know you're a real muhaddith in the true sense of the word and so forth. So this is what the one unique feature of is that you must remember this, that what he did, his tartib and sequence of hadith is much, much better than that of Bukhari Sharif. Although min itibari siha, that from authenticity point of view, then the Imam Bukhari's work is greater. Then another thing we must remember that he states himself, Imam Muslim, in Kitab al-Salat, in Bab al-Tashahud. We should make a note of this. This is very, very important. He says, لَيْسَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِنِّي صَحِيْنُ صَحِيْهٌ وَضَعْتُهُ هُنَا. So I didn't put all the Sahih hadiths here. إِنَّمَا وَضَعْتُهَا هُنَا مَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَيْهِ. So where the scholars, they read Ijma. Those ahadith I mentioned here in Sahih Muslim. Now the question here, he said, Ma ajma'u alayh. Which colors is he referring to? So that is the big question here. So remember when the ulama start making tahqiq and so forth and so on, so they say that the meaning of it is that those ulama, you understand, that he says ijma is not the ijma'i arms. The ijma'i means the four great shuyukh of his. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, Abu Zur'a Razi, rahimahullah, Yahya bin Ma'in, rahimahullah, Abu Hatim Razi. This word Razi, you should know that Tehran is a big city, the capital of Iran. So next to Tehran is a place called Riz. So I've been there also with Allah's help. So the Imam Muhammad bin Hanbal, Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, and Ustad of Imam Shafi'i, is buried there. But the Kufar Shia, they destroyed everything. So Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani is buried there in Ray. That is right next to, remember that is next to this Tehran. So when he said, I will brought Ijma, then those ahadiths are included. So it refers to his four main shuyukh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, his sheikhs, and favorite teachers like Abu Zura al-Razi, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Abu Hatim al-Razi, and so forth. So that is what we should understand in this issues here, and so forth. Of Muslim Sharif, what we call. You know, I studied Muslim Sharif by Hazrat Mawlana Inayatullah. So he is the student of Mawlana, Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib, and he taught us the whole of Sahih Muslim and so forth. So obviously, that for us, it's better we just use Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah, as you must remember, Sanad of Ahadith. So he goes straight to Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Badani, Nawarallahu al-Qadahu, and then upwards and so forth, because they were the students and so forth. So like how we are students, so now obviously they studied before the Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib, and we started afterwards and so forth. So when did he, you must remember this, start writing this and all these kind of things there? So they say that Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, that in the year that 257, he completed the qira'at of this book here. So you must remember that 4 years or so prior to his demise, he completed the reading of it and so forth. So that is how we can ascertain that, you know, which zamana and what he did and what he wrote and all that. And then Imam Muslim himself says, you must remember, and if you want a reference of this, you will find it in Sayyiru A'lam in Nubala and all that, and Tazkiratul Hufaz and this kind of thing there. So he says, Sannaftu Hadal Musnad As-Sahih. Imam Muslim says, I wrote this book, Musnad As-Sahih, the Muslim Sharif. You understand? And how many? That from 300,000 ahadith, I chose and selected from there these ahadith and so forth and so on there, you see. So therefore, it's something very, very great to remember. So how many ahadith will you find now there in Muslim Sharif? So with all the ahadith and all this, you know, nowadays it's easy with the Google and all these type of things there. So without the takrar and without the mukarrarat and without the repetition, they say it is 3,333. 3,033. So that is how the ahadith are mentioned there and so forth. Now, you say that Imam Bukhari, last week we told you, that Fiqhul Bukhari fi tarajumihi. So the headings of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, that will show you that what is his verdict regarding that issue. But yeah, Imam Muslim did not want to write all these things here. So this is what the ulama have written, you understand. Now, Allama Nawawi, rahimahullah, wrote the commentary on Muslim Sharif. It's called Minhaj. You see that? So now, some ulama of the opinions that he, Allama Nawawi, rahimahullah, that he placed that there. Some other ulama say somebody else and so forth and so on. So you must remember that. So there's difference of opinion on that issue. We can't say 100% who it is and so forth and so on. So that is how you will always have certain difference of opinion on certain issues and so forth. And if you want, then you can study all that there in the commentaries and so forth and so on. Then we must remember that what are the unique features of Sahih Muslim. So Imam Muslim, as I told you, that his Muqaddama is very difficult. The Muqaddama is where he has the academic discussion. Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah says that you must have subut. You see, I was telling you that what are the khususiyat of, you must remember, Muslim Sharif. So I was saying that Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah says there must be subutul liqa and sima, that between teacher and student, they must be proven conclusively that they met and he heard from his teacher and so forth. That is Imam Bukhari. Now, that's a very difficult condition. So Imam Muslim and them, they made but concession. They said, no, ihtimalul liqa and sima. So therefore, when you have an-an, the riwayat is mu'an-an. So that means that the possibility is there that they met, or you must remember that they heard and so forth, so one another and so on and so on. So the lesson we learned from here, and that is what I was explaining, that sometimes you can have ikhtilaf and difference of opinion with your elders and your teacher. But the lesson is there must be a lot of ihtiram and adab and so forth. You take the Hanafi fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa is on top. And you have his students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, who we call Sahibain. And if you look at it, and we look at it with, you know, insaf ki nigah, where you say, if we look at it really without being prejudiced and ta'assub and all this, so 25% of the Hanafi fiqh, or 30%, 33%, they differed with Imam Abu Hanifa. So this is a big lesson for us. That in Islam, in tafaqquh fi deen, you don't follow like sheep. You must go into the masail and look at the dalail and so forth and so on. Inna makhtalafu li ajli al-haq. They differed for the sake of truth. Wa makhtalafu fi al-haq. And they didn't differ in truth. Sometimes Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days before his demise, he withdrew and retracted his original fatwa, and he chose the fatwa of Sahibain. So that is the greatness of the scholars, that sometimes they would withdraw and retract their original fatwa and say that what my student said is correct. But it was done with utmost respect and reverence, not like how people carry on, you must remember, and with dalil and evidence and so forth. You see, I was saying, nowadays in our darulums and madrasas, this is a weakness. You must remember this, that the students are not even encouraged to ask questions and so forth. So that's not good. You must remember that Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he was not even Bali. It is hadith in Bukhari Sharif. When Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performed Hajj in the 10th of the Hijrah. And 99%, 3 months after that, when Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wafat and demise took place, also he was not Bali. But Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him and embraced him and made special dua for him and said, Allahumma faqqihu fi deen wa allimhu ta'wil. I mean, you open any hadith kitab where you speak fada'il manaqib of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, you will find that. Give him that, you must remember, profound understanding of the deen and teach him the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So what did he become? He became Ra'isul Mufassiri. And he became one of the greatest commentators of the Quran for all times. And then he became Bahrul Ulum, the ocean of knowledge and so forth. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to call him in his meeting. Sahaba used to object and say, we are children, grandchildren his age, what he's doing. But when he used to speak, even they used to be amazed and astonished and so forth and so on. So people asked him that you, Abdullah ibn Abbas, how come you have obtained and imbibed and acquired such knowledge? See the answer he gave. Inni sa'ulun wa akulun. I used to ask a lot of questions, and then with Allah's help, I used to use the intelligence Allah gave me. So that is what we should do. After all, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa husnu su'ali nisful ilm. To ask good questions is half the knowledge. Not to ask questions just to show how intelligent you are, or you want to disgrace the teacher, or you want to show the public. And No. Jaisi niyat, jaisi barakah. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. So that is our Islamic academic scholarship. We must remember that. We will differ sometimes with our elders, with the utmost respect and so forth. And you have Dalil and the other person has Dalil and so forth and so on. But today, remember that because we have a tunnel vision and so forth, I give you an easy masla. People today, they'll ask, can I read 3:30 or so Asr Salat? So you'll find many Hanafi scholars will say, no, you can't read. But if you look at it, you must remember the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, Imam Abu Hanifa's two greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, this is totally permissible. So now, how can you say it's not permissible? You're not even going out of the Hanafi school. It's Sahibin's verdict. So therefore, we need to understand these type of issues. Another issue, you see, when we go for Hajj, this Haji Shabir Ahmad is here, you must remember whose house we are staying. So we perform Hajj many times. So I used to announce day in Arafat, we are making Zuhar and Asr Jama'ah. Day Jama'ah Taqdeem we are making. In Muzdalifah, there will be Jama'ah Ta'akhir. We will read Zuhar, Asr in Zuhar time, and then Isha time in Muzdalifah, Maghrib Isha. So that Maghrib Isha, everybody agrees. But here, the Jama'ah Taqdeem in your tents, in your Mukhayyamat. So there you must remember, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis say you must combine. Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, his two greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad say you must combine. Even if you are reading it in your tent and so forth and so on. So we used to pass the fatwa on that. And we say that whoever wants to join must join. But you will find some people still will not join. They say, no, that I will make Zuhur separate, meaning they'll read with us the Zuhur, but Asr they'll make later on 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever the season is, 5 o'clock, whatever. So we say, no problem, we'll arrange an imam for you. But the point we must educate the ummah on this type of issues here. You're not going out of the Hanafi school. You've got Sahibin's madhab there. So that is what we must learn and educate the people and so forth and so on. So this is what Imam Muslim is teaching us also, that you must remember he had ikhtilaf and different opinion with his most beloved teacher, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, on the issue of sima and diqa and all that, as I showed you now, that of hearing and so forth. Then you must remember that Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, that whenever they ask, like, you know, certain ikhtilaf on the hadith, this, that, then he will bring a hadith both sides, like. So then to remove that, you mustn't think that the fuqaha and jurists never had dalil. They had dalil and proof. Therefore, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a wonderful book on this. And the name of the book, every scholar, every alim, every person should have this. Raf'ul Malam an A'immatil A'alam. Raf'ul Malam an A'immatil A'alam. Remove the blame from the great giant scholars. Now you take today's pseudo scholars. These Salafis, half of them scholars for dollars, you see. They can't speak one word against MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan, because they're collecting money from the embassies and so on. So now what happens is this, that they want to attack Imam Abu Hanifa. They want to attack Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So that you will find many times amongst them, and especially Imam Abu Hanifa, they attack. So how can you attack Imam Abu Hanifa when the greatest scholars of that time, Imam Shafi and them said, "An-nasu iyalun li-Abi Hanifata fil fiqh." We are the children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh and jurisprudence and so forth. So that shows that their own weakness and so forth. Yeah. Then you know when you study hadith, then you find the words there, haddathana, akhbarana, and all these type of things there. So you must remember many ulama say there's no difference in this word there. And this is the madhab of Shafi'i and Ibn Rajab and all these people here and all that, Bukhari and all of them. They say, no, there's no real difference, you must remember. But he, Imam Muslim, used to make a difference between that. So one is that if the ustad is going to read, then what you will say? And if the student is going to read, then what are you going to say? So if the jabke ustad, shagir ustad ke samne, then when the student is reading, you will say akhbarana. And you must remember when the student is reading. And when the teacher is reading, you will say haddathana. So this is how you must remember he used to make difference between that. So that is his madhab. But it don't mean everybody agrees with him. Other ulama say whether you use akbarana, hadasana, all is all same. It's anonymous, like, so there's no problem with this kind of thing. So these are like the finer points that you should know when you are studying the hadith kitabs and so forth and so on. And thereafter, we must also remember that Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, had his own conditions and so forth, as I mentioned, that you will find in his Muqaddama and so forth and so on. Now when you come to the Sharah and the commentary of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, then you will find that there are, you have understood, that wonderful shuruhat and commentaries on Muslim Sharif. And some are, you know, written nowadays also and so on. You know, I told you before one day, for you more zahid, this is also another weakness in our Darul Ulooms. And that if you ask the final year students in the Darul Ulooms, you study Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, who are the copy you are using? This is Bukhari Sharif in your hand. This is Muslim Sharif in your hand. Whose copy you are using? Imam Bukhari had 1,000 students. Imam Muslim had 1,000 students. Imam, all of them had 1,000 students. But which copy are you using? You'll find very few. If you find 100 students, you'll find 10 students. No, you'll be lucky. So these are things we must teach our students. You must remember that. So now, who are the people whose copy we are using of Muslim Sharif? You see that? So you must remember that his special students were Abu Muhammad bin Ali al-Qalanisi, and there are other students as well, and so forth. So now, whose copy really are we using nowadays? So they say that the copy we are using nowadays is, you must remember, Ibrahim Nishapuri's copy. So that is the one that is the most famous copy that is printed nowadays in the world. So these are things. Now, if you go to the Orientalists, I think I mentioned it last week or whenever. So James Robson is Orientalist, nothing to do, not Muslim. But he wrote a whole book on this, that who are the reporters, narrators of this ahadith, and how did these books written? Now imagine, Hazrat Allama Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, you know, Alimia, rahimahullah, he's our ustad also, he gave me permission of hadith. He wrote a book, the contribution of the Mustashriqeen, the Orientalists to Islam. So a thing we supposed to do, you know, we never did it, and they came and they did it. If you take the book of Wensing is, you must remember, another Mustashriq Orientalist. You call this concordance. How many times the word came Zamzam in Bukhari Sharif? Example I'm giving. How many times it came in? Not one Muslim did it. He's the person who started doing all this work. Then the Arab ulama and other ulama started doing this thing. But first he did it, Wensing. So this is an indictment upon us. We're not doing scholarship. Like how I see Quran translation. When I was in Zurich, it's a shame and a disgrace for us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You must remember, when I was in Zurich, there in Switzerland, so I went to the Qadiani Center. So wherever I see these characters, I just go there and I just speak to them. I tell them about tourists. Every country in the European Union, 27 countries, they have translated the Quran, these Qadianis, 100% kufar, in all their languages. Go ask the Sunnis, me and you, did we translate the Quran in all these languages? We just keep on fighting, arguing, the real work we must do, we don't do. I mean, it's a shame and disgrace. Now, they put their poison, you must remember, in their translation and commentary, and we left it out. If you see, in the European languages, maybe 5, 10, 20 languages we'll have, but not all. And they have in everyone. So therefore, if you go to Google even now, you ask who is the Khalifa of the Muslims, his name comes. The Qadiani leader comes, he's the Khalifa of the Muslims. I mean, how foolish are we? How childish are we? That even that we can't get right. So if a person who is interested in Islam and he Googles, you say, who's the Khalifa of the Muslims? This Qadiani Shaitan, his name will come. Who's Pakka non-Muslims. And then they'll give them all these translations. You see, this is weakness on our... But we're not even prepared to accept our weakness. This is how we instead of progressing, we retrogress, we go backwards and so forth and so on. So that is very poor scholarship on our part. We must remember these type of things then. But the best part, we don't even accept it. We must remember that. They say, no, it's right. How can it be right? You're leaving a vacuum and these enemies of Islam come and then they do the work and so forth and so on. So yes, same thing happened. We are supposed to be the Darul students and so forth before they get all their big certificates and all their subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah azim, 50 students, 60 students graduated. Does that way, ye Bukhari Sharif ka raavi kon hai? Muslim Sharif ka raavi kon hai? In Mehman, we say Bansudni. They got not one idea also. Do you understand? So how are we producing scholars like that? It's not right. So you see, what has happened is mass production. When you have now 50, 60, 70 students, so qualifying, so now the level of scholarship decreases. So now the emphasis is on quantity and is no more on quality. Why? So our darums, I don't say all, but I'll say majority, they have become means of what? You must remember, just collect money. Every second person, today one person sent me a message. He says that they want to open a darum in PE. I said, who's opening the darum? You got the darum there, but the darum Abu Bakr or whatever. It's a white elephant. People paid millions and millions of rent for that darulum. There's not one student there. So what you're talking of another darulum? I mean, we must speak the truth. We can't be carrying favor with people. If awam's money is public money being used, so what happened to all that money? Who pocketed that money? I mean, these are issues we have to speak about. You understood? We can't be pushing everything under the carpet. So now I am the founder. When I die, my son will take over. Then my second son will take over. My son-in-law will take over. Amara Jamai Damad, he was on the man. So what is this whole thing here? Are we running madrasa? Are we running one factory there? And yes, egg kamai ka zariya. I mean, we need to understand. So what has happened is this. Our scholarship is getting lost. And we are now producing quantity, but we're not producing quality. And that is a fact. You must remember this type of thing here. So therefore, we need to be very careful with every town having a darulum, and then suddenly millions, and then all the healers start. They collect zakat, and make that dry cleaning, and then make it into lilla, and then Hazrat Bangia. You see, these are not how you produce scholars. Scholars have to be really giving their life and so forth. So we say our Darul Madras has a great name, but don't get me wrong. But if you want scholarship, then you have to look at quality and not quantity. Remember that. So these are the few things you should remember about in those. Then you come to the commentaries of Muslim Sharif and so forth. Just go study the lives of each one of them and see how they studied hadith and so forth. Subhanallah. When I went to Hazrat Muhammad Salimullah Khan Sahib, I told him, Hazrat, aapke yahan hadith sharif seekhna hai, padhna hai. He said, aap nahi pad sakte. He said, aap Afriki tolaba bahut suhulat pasand ho. That you South Africans, you like too many luxuries and facilities. So I told him, no, Hazrat, main har kurbani karne ke liye tayyar hoon. He looked at me and Ismail, he said, aap kurbani karenge? I said, inshallah, zarur, Hazrat. We were 500 students, plus minus, there were only 5 toilets. So I said, 100 students per toilet, like. So he put me to the test, you know, Hazrat. So remember, after 1-2 months, you see, this guy is studying and not complaining. Then he called me and said, see, take this sheet, and that one toilet is there. So for the teachers, you must use that there. You see, we come from so far, like, you know, to study. They said, so, sure. I was saying, now imagine people like Mokasim Sema and them. 1935, Hazrat Mokasim Sema, our principal founder of Darul Newcastle, the first Darul in the history of South Africa. What they went through and this time. Mona Umarji went, he came back after 15 years. He never came back in the 15 years. Mokasima went 10 years, he came back after that. Today, our students, every 10 weeks, they want to run home. I mean, we have to look at all these things here, you know. So they gave their life for the deen. This is speaking of our ulama, senior ulama. And what were things they did, you must remember. Then Allah Ta'ala accepted them and so forth and so on. So the greatest, we're coming to the ending now, so let's just mention a few, you understand, commentaries on Muslim Sharif. So you must remember the famous one is his Minhaj of Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah. So that is very, very famous and so forth. And then the one written, you must remember, by Allama Qurtubi Rahimahullah. Allama Qurtubi Rahimahullah was a genius and a giant of the Maliki school. And if you go to Muslim Spain, Andalus, you know, till today you will find the legacy of theirs. So in Qurtuba, we went there all day with Allah, Qurtuba and that, but very sad today what you see. So you will see that his commentary is called Al-Mufhim of Allama Qurtubi Rahimahullah. So that is very, very important also, we must remember. Then among our ulama, there was Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahimahullah. He was a great, great supporter that Pakistan must be built independently and so forth and so on. Anyway, whether it's supposed to be built or not built, that is a separate issue. But he was, and therefore the day like Pakistan was formed, and then the flag of Pakistan, he's the one who raised it there in Karachi, and that is, you must remember, known as West Pakistan. And in East Pakistan, Allama Zafar Ahmad Usmani, rahimahullah, he raised the flag of Pakistan in Dhaka. What now, 71, it became Bangladesh and so forth. So these were the giants, you must remember, of Pakistan. He was known as Sheikh al-Islam in Pakistan. They did Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani. When they used the term just Sheikh al-Islam, in those days it referred to Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Badani Nawarullah Marqadahu, who taught Hadith Sharif in Masjid Nabawi for 15 years. Remember that he was a genius, a giant. So he, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani, passes away. Pakistan is formed in 47, around 48, 49, and around 49 or so, he passes away. How many times used to go to his graveyard, grave? Because from Newtown Madrasa, now called Binuri Town, so in walking distance, you just go there, and you will find that he is buried there, and so forth, and so on. So that is, you remember, he and Shaykh Hazrat Allama, you must remember, so this thing here, Suleiman Najwi. So they buried next to one another. So these were the giants that were buried there. Then, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani, the commentary on Muslim Sharif, remember, was not complete. Then Allah chooses whoever he wants to. Then it was written by Mufti Taqi Usmani. So Mufti Taqi Usmani wrote the Takmila to Fatin Mulim is a very, very great book, you must remember. I told you many a time in the listeners, Mufti Taqi Usmani is a very, very genius, a great scholar. But three things we don't agree with him. One is this whole banking thing, and that we don't agree with him. You must remember that. His intention may be sincere, but the unintended consequences was you opened the back door for riba and interest. That is khatra ka makam, very dangerous thing. And therefore, to say this Sharia compliant, and then Hazrat Mohd Salimullah Khan Sahib is his teacher. Hazrat Mohd Salimullah Khan Sahib instructed me to write a fatwa against him when he came to South Africa. So I must remember that. He said, "Aap English mein likh dijiye aur phir wahan bhej dijiye Jamia Faruqia kyun wo shaya karenge? Whether they printed it or not, I don't know." So, but imagine Hazrat Mohd Salimullah is his teacher and my teacher, and Hazrat tells me that I must write a fatwa. He was not happy at all with Mufti Taqi and them on this issue here. You see, so that's one. Then the second issue we don't agree is about the tasweer business. So there you open the doors of this TV and so forth. So then I spoke to them personally, Mufti Rafi and Mufti Taqi. And I said that this issue, you're opening the doors of fitna on this. I mean, they were elders, but it doesn't mean we can't speak to them and tell them we don't agree with them on this issue. And the third one is his closeness to the Pakistani government. You must remember that. Yesterday I received, Pakistan has taken a loan, $7 billion from the IMF. Somebody said they made Mashura with Mufti Taqi. Whether it's true or not true, I don't know. But his name is mentioned there. So when they will say, zarurat hai, and thus. But once you start taking loans from these people, then you in their clutches for life, another 50, 100 years. Because they will charge you so much interest. So this is what they call the new slavery, economic slavery. And that is what happens. So how can we agree to these type of things then? So these are, but beside that, Hazrat is a very, very great scholar. I mean, I know him, I studied in Madrasa, and we hosted him, they were in our house in Heidelberg, and then we hosted him in Darulum, Newcastle, 1992, in our Jalsa, the first time in the history of Darulum, Newcastle, Bukhari, Sharif, Khatam was done in Arabic, and so forth and so on. So he's a very great scholar, there's no doubt about that, you must remember. His khidmat we can never forget, and his service, but these two, three issues we can't agree. So we have to highlight that also. And Allah Ta'ala forgive all of us. We all are sinners. We all are transgressors. Allah grant us all ikhlas, sincerity. Grant us all istiqamah, steadfastness. And grant us qabuliyat in the last. So we conclude today's program. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa arina manasikana wa tubalina innaka anta tawabur rahim. So tonight our program will be, inshallah, here in Swaziland, that we'll leave here, Baban, to Manzini is plus minus 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And then inshallah, after Maghrib, there are two, three students, I think, completing hifz there. So that will be the Manzini Masjid. And then it will be the hifz of the Khatma of the Hufaz. And then inshallah, after Isha will be the main bayan there. Inshallah, Aziz. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.